Welcome back to the Everyday Endurance Podcast, a podcast for everyday people who want to do extraordinary things. I'm your host, Simon Perrottin, and as usual, I'm joined by my brother, Luke Perrottin.
Hello. And on this show, we talk about training for and competing in endurance events. And we also talk about how to balance endurance training with work and family life. And on this episode, Simon and I are going to talk about our plans for 2023. And the topic or the theme of the podcast is going to be the balance between trying to do something every day. And that's the title of the podcast, Everyday Endurance, and trying to be consistent and being intuitive and flexible with your training. And I think it's a really interesting topic. So, Simon, what do you think about the topic?
Goals for 2023, that's always good. It's that time of year, isn't it? We might be a bit late for New Year's resolutions, though, I think. But
it's the first episode for the podcast, the restarting the engine. So that's good. Talk about starting goals. And
that's right.
Everyone likes to hear about that, goals and plans.
So you've told me recently about an endurance challenge you've put yourself under, and I've got a few plans to try and start ramping up my training soon. Why don't we start off with your daily challenge? I'd like to hear about that.
This is, I think, like a lot of people over the last couple of years. Now, it depends where you're living and where you're working. I think we're coming from the context of being in Melbourne, Victoria, Australia, which was subjected to a lot of lockdowns and COVID-related restrictions, and also in being working in high pressure jobs as well. You find yourself coming last a lot of the time in terms of your health and fitness. And I know this happened to a lot of people. And I prided myself as someone who would run and train and do things no matter what, until you have a couple of years like that. You prioritize other things. So, like everyone, on January 1st, I thought, hang on, let's set some sort of a challenge for the year ahead, and we'll see if it lasts beyond January. So, this is interesting. This came straight from my own head. I don't know how valid it is, whether it's a good idea or not. I just thought I'd really like to air it out here on the podcast. What I was thinking was averaging 5 kilometers, 3 miles, whatever that is, 5 kilometers per day over the year, which doesn't sound like much. But what is that, 2,800 or so kilometers in the year? It's very doable. We're not talking about an ultra marathon champion here. We'd probably do that in a month.
By the last few years, you're referring to being in a city with one of the longest lockdown periods of any city on earth, essentially, which I wasn't in. I live in Tasmania.
I'm aware this podcast goes worldwide, and there could be people in far worse situations than that around the world. But I'm just reporting the news. That's what it was like for us. We had our active lifestyles suddenly found that they had to change. And a lot of people actually went off and did a lot more endurance sport during that time. And there was a lot of backyard ultras and all sorts of things that started up. And I know a lot of people who, just because of the psychology of the whole thing and the extra pressure and stress of their work, started putting themselves last and, dropped away a lot of their training plans. And I thought, well, I don't know if it's the best idea. I don't know if it's a sensible idea. It certainly isn't something that you'd call a sensible programming or anything like that. It's not very flexible and intuitive. The idea being, you don't have to run every day, but to average 5Ks a day and have a bit of a moving average in your head. So, for example, if I've missed a day, I'm now, my number's 5. So to get this, to get back to 0, I'd have to run 10Ks on that day. It doesn't mean you go out there and run 10Ks to get back to 0. So I've got this number that was moving around based on the number of kilometers I'd run that day. And mid-January, and it was up to 27 kilometers. So I did a couple of long runs, and I brought it back down to the 0, and it was strangely motivating. It's actually kind of fun.
I've once in a previous year done with the bikes, 30 Ks a day for 30 days.
Oh, yeah.
That doesn't sound like much, on a road bike, 30 Ks, not too far. Most people are getting there within the hour to hour and a half at probably the longest if you're reasonably fit, I would say. 30 Ks, not that far for a for that vehicle, depending on the terrain. But, it, you know, when it stacks up to being day after day, and as you say, you know, you can't miss that day, you know, the next one, if you're doing it that way. Do you have a catchy name for your little challenge?
No.
Big challenge?
No. That's it's all happening in my head.
That's and now the, it's next, in- the next point then. Get some, the 30 Ks a day for 30 days. It sort of ring, you know, despite it being probably a weird idea, at least it sounds kind of, so no, your next challenge that I'll set you is to come up with some sort of creative, catchy title for your challenge and let all us right. all know.
Okay.
How are you going with it? Are you on track or you, on track? Do you need to run 100 Ks on Sunday or?
So it's look, I'm not condoning or support supporting or saying this is a good idea in any way. I don't know if it's a good idea, but there's something strangely motivating about someone who is more of the flexible side of things, who often sets a bit of a training program and then just does their own version of it. Someone, and you know, if you're a person like that, you know what it's like to actually have a structure there that you can follow is really motivating. But so I had a minor calf tear early on in it. So I didn't run through it. I just let those numbers build up. And it's when it got up to 27 Ks. And it just provided some motivation. And then what we want to talk about today is there's obviously a balance there with being intuitive and having days off and rest days, which are we know rest days are really important. And being flexible. And I know you're going to talk about your training blocks and Strava settings and the sort of minimums for each part of your multi-sport and something that sounds a lot more sensible in how you're planning your year's training.
Well, before we get to that, two of my training buddies who we're going to have on coming weeks and months as guests because to hear about their training for Ultra Trail Australia, the ultra marathon through the Blue Mountains. We on a recent run, we had an interesting conversation about training strategies because one of them is some people are very good at following a plan. So getting the plan either off the internet or out of a book or, and then eventually, you know, an online platform where you can go and get some online coaching, you know, basic coaching. There's subscription services and things like that. We're probably all familiar with some of them. So one of them goes, you know, very good with the kind of like, here's your 7 workouts across the 14 days or whatever it is, that style program. You've got to get, doesn't matter what order you do them, but you get as many as you can in and they have success. Especially I find sometimes people, they run their first marathon and have some success with it, then they might, you know, be, they'll fall, you all, we all follow, if we do something and it works, we all tend to gravitate back to it, hopefully. But other people, particularly when there's like kids involved or whatever it is, if your schedule doesn't really work for that, some people find it really hard to follow those programs and they just like crave that flexibility. Or it's sometimes the psychological barrier, which is where when you start to get that busy fortnight or whatever, work pressure or something's gone on and the kids are sick, you start missing things and it sort of triggers people to, you know, to think, oh no, like what's going on here?
To either myself, overtrain or to quit completely. Yeah.
To do that. And I would probably fall into the second camp where it's like, oh, you know, I've got the, you know, this training program going and et cetera. I have successfully followed them before, but with my wife's business and work and my own kids, it can often be, you know, I could have a lot of time, enough time 1 week, and I could have, you know, things could completely flip around in terms of scheduling the next week, and I, you know, aren't able. Down here in Launceston in Tasmania where I live, it gets pretty dark pretty early as well. Yeah. So in winter, so, you know, cold weather, ice on the ground, that sort of stuff. So certainly a lot easier than in a snowy place, but
yeah, got the latitude disadvantage there in the winter. But
yeah, so what I had done to get around that mental barrier in previous times is I set, using Strava's, and we've discussed this before in this podcast, but using Strava's settings for for like distance goals or time goals, I'll use that to have a weekly goal. Although being in endurance people, the risk of doing that is obviously I have done the dumb thing and got to the Sunday and gone, oh, no, I've got a 100K goal. I'll have to get 100Ks in. So with the benefit of time, I've kind of grown out of that habit and just sort of gone to look at is a goal that only I'm looking at on Strava that nobody cares about. Nobody cares. I care, but nobody else really is watching or
does that make it,
which I say even, is a good thing. Yeah.
Does that make it even more of an achievement if there's a goal that means nothing and you still do it?
That's a really good point. Yeah.
No one was looking. Climb a mountain, tell no one.
That's a great point. That's a great positive way to phrase that. I'll next time I see that reminder that my weekly distance goal or whatever it is approaching, right, I'll think good on you. You've got there, means, even though no one else cares.
It means nothing, but it also means everything. So you're the only one who'll know as well, and you're the only one that matters. It's funny, isn't it? You and I aren't big on social media. You sort of use it strategically for a podcast promotion, and I use it for some of my work. Just basically disseminating and sharing sports medicine research and things that are related to my work. I'm not one to here's a picture of me looking good or looking bad. look at me. I've just been to the gym.
Let's talk about that in terms of balancing.
Well, I don't need that external, never needed it, external validation of what I'm doing. I even dropped off Strava because I thought I just don't need anyone to know, especially if I'm on a flexible work schedule and I'm running during the day and I've worked during all the morning, right? I'm still doing my more than 8.5 hours a day. And someone sees me doing a run at 2 p.m. on a work day. I don't want to be judged. I want to be on my own.
It depends. It depends if there's other things on Strava aside from the social aspects.
Right.
As well.
Everyone else in the world probably knows what they are, but except for the host. Go.
Strava and other platforms. This is not an ad for Strava. There's other versions of that out there which do probably the same thing. But sometimes when you're working towards a goal, a big race, and sometimes you're looking for that positive feedback. And if you have been training well or whatever, you can see they have statistics. How scientific are they? I've got no idea. But, it'll say this is building over time or give you a little curve and it says you're here. At the moment, mine's kind of gone back down because I've come through a very busy patch through Christmas with business and work stuff. So, now I know it's gone back down. As I start to build it back up throughout the year, get that benefit or get, you're running this thing faster than you did then. Depends if you like that, if you need that or you want that. I don't know. So let's talk about you've got another podcast as well.
Well, I do. Yeah.
It may be of interest to some people who might be interested in this podcast, if anyone is.
So. Before we press record rather for the podcast this week, we were talking about do we give everyone a little bit of an introduction to us and what we actually do behind the scenes? And then we decided let's not spend too much time on that. People can look you up if they want to look over who we are. It's a professional information online and everything. But we did think we'd give a bit of a shout out to the other podcasts that I'm working on as a part of my professional life, because I'm a physiotherapist and I'm a physiotherapy educator and a researcher. So I've got a podcast that I'm co-hosting for work at Monash University called the Monash Musculoskeletal Research Unit podcast. And it's sort of related in a way. This one is mainly for clinicians, but people would take a general interest in sports medicine and musculoskeletal research. And that's all on all the different podcast apps. And then I've got my physio education podcast that I host called Physio Foundations. And again, that one's more for clinicians and physio students, but there's some general interest topics in there as well and there is a sports and musculoskeletal flavor to it. It's actually been a lot of fun. Those two have been launched in the last 2 years. And then just to add work to the week, we started the third podcast called Everyday Endurance. Actually, it's a funny story. So your nephew, my son, Henry, time to give a shout out to Henry. He started, he's 9 years old. He's turning 10 tomorrow. So he starts, he's seen his dad doing podcasting, everything. He starts his own podcast on space called Give Me Space. So shout out to Henry. And he's got 4 or 5 episodes there. Oh, it's a classic. It's
actually doing great. He's doing a great job at it. It's good. He's got a great time to be alive when you can do that sort of stuff.
When you do that stuff with your kids, and it's this learning by stealth, you're there working on, doing your work. And then to me, it's a way of reaching out to people in a sort of intimate format. Because no one's listening to this who isn't really interested in the topic. And you're probably going for a run at the moment, just listening to a conversation. And it's a way of connecting with an audience really slowly. It builds over time. So I think you and I need to keep this one going this year. And we need a goal for how many episodes we put out.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we need to have at least monthly.
A good friend of mine who's also a runner, he's in one of my running groups. We go out, we often do a run around the Cataract Gorge. And he in Launceston, beautiful Launceston in Tasmania, he had a listen into your physio foundations and very much enjoyed it. He's in the industry as well as a chiropractor. So it's had a good review, that one. I suppose my interest in podcasting, I've listened to a lot of podcasts, a podcast lover, from very early on when they were very new, and you kind of went on and downloaded them, and some of the early adopter podcasters, I would have listened to most of their episodes, obviously, and really loved them. They really listened to them. They got good value out of them for my life, out of some of the podcasts out there, which I won't go through, but some of them really have delivered spectacular value through you, and they might get a little bit of, you know, often some of them there aren't really getting that much financial kickback. Some of them probably making a lot of money out of them, but the value that they appear to deliver out there for people, and the ability for people to go and tailor their listening world when they're out for a run or a paddle or whatever they're doing, or a nice walk, or doing the dishes, you know, and the washing, the ability to have, you know, to tune out some of the junk that's out there that gets put out there into the world, some of the negativity that's there that can be come through COVID and pandemics and things like that, and you can get easily overwhelmed by the box that presents the worst possible news stories to you every night if you go down that path. So a lot of people, I'm certainly not alone in kind of trying to tune out to some of that stuff and try and get positive messages in. So yeah, I have loved audible format. Used to, when I lived in a city with trains, I used to read a lot of books. That with kids and not having a long commute has switched to audible books through Audible. And then through those and podcasts. So yeah, just really enjoy the format. My interest in it.
Yeah. And so we've got I think each of the episodes we recorded so far, we've spoke about all the guests who are coming on and they haven't come on yet because Christmas and New Year and everything's happened. But we do have George Mihalikelis. So George is a really well-known ultra marathon endurance athlete from Victoria, Australia. And George has done some crazy stuff. And he has some big plans coming up this year. And he's going to come on and tell us about, he'll be very inspiring. Always love a good chat with George, very popular guy. And you've got a couple of guests who you mentioned are doing.
My friends are actually
Ultra Trail Australia.
Yeah. And a couple of other events for other people lined up, everyday athletes. And be really interesting to hear some of their race reports at the start of this year as well. Get them in. It's going to be, those events all often happen towards the start of the calendar year.
So late last year, late last year I had Sarah Ward on Physio Foundations podcast, and who's a researcher and a physio in New Zealand. And she just racked her bike for a triathlon that was happening in the rain down in sunny New Zealand. And then she went and did the podcast episode with me and then went off to do the triathlon. So I'm going to invite Sarah on for a chat as well. So she has some really good perspectives as someone who has a very busy lifestyle. And so she basically does the singing, dancing, acting trio. She does research, teaching, and clinical practice as a physiotherapist. So she's busy and still trains for triathlons. So when you've got people like that who do that and enjoy it, always want to sort of ask them how they do it and how they fit it all in and how her triathlon went. So we'll get Sarah on as well.
So here and in endurance news, like yeah. We've got the in Tasmania.
Here's a new section for our podcast.
We've got the Cradle. Well,
endurance news
relevant to our future guests. So we've got the Cradle Mountain Run coming up in this fourth. The fourth will be on a Saturday. This is an ultra over the World Heritage Cradle Mountain Track. So going through beautiful old Gondwanan rainforest. Running the entire length of the overland track, which is roughly.
What do you mean by Gondwana rainforest? This means it's the same species of trees that were around when we had Gondwana land.
Not that I'm a expert on this stuff, but I did read a sign the other day when I was at a national park, and I believe that sign said that whole section of mountain range at some stage lifted. When all the continents were joined, it lifted off the Meander Valley floor and formed this area of Tasmania called the Western Tiers, which is this big kind of raised, almost similar, but not in scale, but similar, you know, a raised plateau running along and running right down. So on one side, on the west side of that, you've got, you know, huge forest and other types of, you know, vegetation stretching all the way down to southwest Tasmania. And up there, there's some walking tracks, of which the Cradle Mountain walking track, the overland track, that's probably the most famous of them, maybe. I don't want to be quoted on that, but yeah, the overland track runs through this, worth Googling if anyone, and putting on the bucket list if anyone hasn't heard of it. It's a series of huts and boardwalks, quite accessible for people. But the weather report for that this weekend was, I was thinking, I heard it's going to be, someone said
two degrees Celsius,
5 degrees Celsius and a 90% chance of 20 millimeters of rain for them up there.
Welcome to Tasmania.
It's up in the high country of Tasmania, so it'll probably get some snow potentially up there. Yeah, summer in Tasmania.
Yeah, it's midsummer in Australia. There we go. But this is a wet part of Australia, the southern part.
So anyone running that this weekend, if that's the weather that comes through, they'll get an extra gold star from the rest of us who aren't running it for the toughness gold star.
What's the distance?
I believe it's roughly 70 kilometres up there, but maybe more. So don't quote me on that. So it's 80-kilometre run. Sorry.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Apologies for that. I should have come with my statistics. It just occurred to me to mention it. So.
Yeah, that's a really, really popular one, obviously, for history, but also what you're running through.
Yeah, I believe it's quite – we'll hear about this in due course once it's run. But, you know, I believe it's one that you have to qualify to get into. And so, yeah.
So we're going to hear from our good friend, Crazy George. I shouldn't call him that. He's not crazy. He's only a little bit crazy. Very lovable guy, George. It's coming on, and then competitors in the Cradle Mountain events, and Sarah Ward will come on. That's good. Stay tuned for more endurance news. So we've got a new segment we're adding to the podcast. That's good. So look, in this episode, I really wanted to, let's come back to our main point just to finish off here. So is there a balance to be found if you set yourself a challenge to run every day for a year, or to do, at the moment, I'm also doing a 90-day challenge. I mean, every second person's doing this, right? There's, with one of the apps, one of the programs you can get. I'm doing a 90-day challenge, which I think is a really good idea, where you clean up your diet. It was already pretty good, but it's a diet aimed at becoming slightly more lean and gaining a little bit of muscle and doing these bodyweight exercises. And my 5K a day challenge, I think I'm currently on 13 plus 13, or it should be negative 13. So I owe myself 13 Ks and they can come whenever I like across the year, right? Get this moving average going. This is pretty rigid. This calls for you to do something every day. And then you know, there's flexibility and being intuitive with your your training as well. And some days you, it may not be appropriate to be running and training and pushing yourself. So, I mean, I've got some inherent flexibility in my 5K a day average because I can just not run and then catch it up later. But that can lead to problems as well. How do you think you, where's the right balance to be found between consistency and being intuitive? Or is it personal? Is it going to be, is it going to depend on your personal circumstances and your psychology? What do you think?
I don't know. I always tend to seem, and I actually was wrestling with it quite a lot previously, is I always tend to seem to have a bit of a break through summer. It's a very busy patch for my wife's work and business. She's got both going on. It's, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on through there. I like training in winter, some things like that. So this year I've just actually just leaned into that and been like, I had actually signed up for an event, but I actually haven't done this before and it might be frowned upon by some, but I actually pulled out of it and said what's more important this year is probably supporting my wife's business and doing what we can there to get that happening and try and keep it stress-free. But it does lead me to a story, if you've got time, Luke, of my guy I ran into. So I was out for a walk at lunchtime around where I work. There's paths along the rivers and up to parks. They're very good for running, cycling, that sort of stuff. And I came across this guy. He said, Simon, oh, hey, you're out running. This guy I ran into in July last year, and he'd come out. I'd run into him about a year before. I was out on a run, and he'd been out walking. And a seed of idea, you know, got into his head, and he'd come out, and he's like, I'm doing it. When I saw him in July last year, he's like, I'm doing the lunchtime run thing. It's so great. You know, I just wanted to get out there. And he's like, how far do you think I've run and stuff? And I sort of pointed him towards how you work that stuff out and gave him an estimate. And then when I ran into him last week, he said to me, I've run every day since July last year. Every day I do something.
Wow, that's a good streak.
It might be just a little, you know, at some intervals on an oval. This guy was, you know, he was not a runner. He was not a, you know, I don't know, he probably went to the gym or something, but this is a very tall guy, not a runner, and he had just somehow, and it was great to see someone out there who had got the seed of inspiration in their head from whatever and gone, you know, I'm going to actually, you know, he's a in a busy profession, this guy. It's a profession not really known for its fitness, the lawyer. And out he was, you know, running along the track, and I've been down to the running store, got these shoes, and it's like really to see the.
It's amazing.
To see the excitement, and that someone had gone from like not doing it to being like, you know, I'll just get something out there, just working towards getting better at each day. Very inspirational to be around that and to see that and go, wow, that's great. I'm glad I ran into you. So we're going to key up a run. That's on me. I've got to get a time slot and go out there, and I'll get a bit of free inspiration from this young guy.
Good to get him on the podcast for a chat.
I think so. Yeah, I think I'd love to hear about his plans and what he's got planned. He did ask me, so I've been thinking of maybe, and I will wait till the podcast to talk about that, thinking of maybe doing this. And then he said, oh, maybe I should do, you know, and he sort of named a shorter distance. And I said, no, I think you should do the longer one. I don't know if you think that's the right way to go. If someone's had the seed of a thought, you know, distance.
What were the distances? He said he wanted to do a 10K run, and you said, I think you should make it 100.
He said, I'm thinking of a marathon. And
That's too short. Is that what you said to him?
No, he said, and then as we all do, bit of the maybe what about, you know, maybe it should be a half. Or and I said, I think you should do the marathon. Everybody, look, the reason everybody I know that's gone from kind of couch to marathon and gone through the discipline and training, I just know a few people around me who it's altered their life of doing that at that distance. And if he's had the seed of thought for the longer distance, I just have a feeling that doing it is what will satisfy that desire.
Not it's 99% is the process of the training and what you need to do to get. It's not about the running of the marathon.
I also know when I first started to get fit, you know, I was 2018, and I'd been working as a business lawyer.
Just so everyone realizes, you've been doing endurance stuff for a long time.
But
you got a bit unfit in 2017, and then you decided to pull the trigger again in 2018.
Correct. Right. I wasn't totally inexperienced at endurance stuff. I've done a lot, some stuff before that, but had let it go. And when I went into a local bike shop, you know, I was coming in at over 100 kilos, 100, maybe 10, I'd say, or something like that. I sort of said, thinking about doing this thing. And what I remember from that is within there, and it was pivotal for me actually kind of getting back into it. They never said, be a bit more realistic, like
you know, you're thinking of doing the Fraser challenge.
I was, and the whole thing solo, because you can do it in a team.
And it was,
I just remember a guy who
an outrageous statement, really, for because of us who, it's a crazy event to do
6 months out, and I was probably 20 kilos overweight. And
David Goggins, how are you?
Didn't own a bike, and I'm a long way from him, but anyway, so I went to there, and they just they never said, let's be realistic, anything like that, or no, or that's, you know, really, why don't you? They just said, here's this other event, you know, which is about half of it. Let's get you to that and see how you go. And it was just enough. Like, here, let's set you a goal and see how you go. And actually, that was the perfect thing, because it was like, get yourself to that distance and let me keep my goal.
Mm.
And it was just about, you know, basically keeping me on track, but also getting me to something that I could actually achieve. So it worked quite well, even though slightly different to saying no, just do the full marathon. It's just that not being doubted by people who had done that stuff before, even though it looked like a bit of a far-fetched goal, the fact that people who knew what it took didn't express any doubt as to your ability.
Right.
And that was actually, in retrospect, looking back, it was actually, you know, pivotal and fundamental, that sort of moment was, it enabled to get past those mental barriers. Whereas if someone starts expressing doubt, you're right, you should do a half distance.
Yeah. Mm. That's because that's really, really important to remember the impact you can have just from believing in people. I've joked about David Goggins before. That's the opposite of David Goggins. You know, he talks about having how much benefit he gets from the doubters and the haters, and he uses that to fire him up and everything. You could take it both ways. Someone who has done a lot of endurance events, who's experienced, says to you, yeah, you could do that. And then it helps you set some appropriate short-term, mid-term goals on the way there. It's that's inspirational, isn't it? You think, hang on, I could do this. There's this little switch in your head flips when you first sign up for a 100 mile or a 100K run or a Fraser challenge, where you say, hang on, I could finish this. That same switch flips in your head during the event. You've got the ups and downs of you know, sometimes you think, oh, will I make it? But you don't stop. And then you get to this point near the end of the event and you get that second win. You think, I'm going to finish this thing. Come on. Here we go. It's so good.
You get there. That's what it's all about, isn't it?
Yeah. You get that finish line imagery that starts going through your head, and it sort of draws you towards the finish line. And you don't get that stuff in a shorter event. You get lots of other things from team sports, and there's a lot of other things you miss out of in endurance sports. There's an episode idea. The downsides of endurance.
There's a point in the race, though, as you're saying, or in the event, where you cross a sort of point and you think, I've got this.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it. I'm sure everyone's felt that feeling. There's a lot of stuff does go through your head when you go out there for hours and hours and hours running or riding or kayaking. Then you've got time to think is something that you will have an abundance of.
And that the big event there is something that draws you inexorably towards the finish line, and it is a magic to it.
Definitely a magic to it.
Until next time, let's wrap this thing up. Yeah. Everyone, if you enjoyed the episode, share it with a friend. This is a pretty small time podcast. So if you are listening to this and you don't know us, but you want to connect with us, look at the show notes and track us down. And if you want to come on and have a chat, you might be a race director. You might have a race in your local area or you want to promote, for example, or talk about, why not? Come on. We'll talk about it. You might be just doing an event. You might be in a similar position to us, or you might be just thinking about starting. And some of Simon's comments before would be pretty interesting in that regard. Or you might just want to talk about some topics or ask some questions, whatever. Give us a bell. Find us details in the show notes. Final thoughts, Simon?
Final thoughts. I'm inspired to get out for a run or ride or something this afternoon, as I always am when we have our conversations, Luke. I'm excited for the year. I'm excited to talk to some of these people. There'll be a little bit of like living vicariously through these people's events and their expertise, but that's also what it's all about with podcasting. I'm looking forward to hearing about everyday people and ordinary people doing these things and really learning about some of these events that I've never heard of or never done. Maybe I'll try one myself. You never know. We'll see at the end of the year. We'll see. Never done an ultra run, so done it in an event at least anyway. So
the power of suggestion. And as you said in this episode, the power of someone suggesting but also believing and not doubting you. That's important as well. Or if you're David Goggins, the power of teaching someone a lesson who did doubt you. It can come at the psychology from two directions. But
two directions. That can be our take-home point from this discussion, Luke. The power of letting someone know that you believe in them or that something's possible.
I like it.
That's great.
I like it. So, see you next time. Do you want to wrap this thing up? Can I do it again? Can I do the final bit?
Yeah, I like that again. Do the final bit's awesome.
Until next time, I'm going to say in a very serious tone. This is my podcasting voice, ready? Until next time, this is Luke and Simon Perriton enjoying everyday endurance.